This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
We're back on the Diehards. Alex Barth and Bobby Gravitsky in for Anthony Pepe. Hour number two, we're going to get into some playoff talk, hockey and basketball. And actually, college baseball tournament begins in like a week, which we don't need to talk a ton about that. I don't know if we have an affiliate. I know in Nashville they're hyped for that, and they should be. Their team's nasty. We'll save that for another time. I think last Monday, was that the first day of hockey playoffs, I think? And
did it start on a Monday?
I think it did. Yeah. Because it was Bruins-Caps game one. Or no, it might have been game two. The Bruins were playing when we were here last week.
The Bruins' first game was on a Saturday night when they lost in overtime.
So it was game two then.
Yeah.
So it was relatively early basketball.
Yeah, we were talking about it on the air. Right, yeah, that was game two.
Right, the basketball playoffs hadn't started quite yet. They were right around the corner. The play-in was starting. But now here we go, a weekend. Are you enjoying playoff season, Bobby?
How can you not? How many times do I need to say it on these airwaves? It's the best time of year, and even though this is the end of it, they finished strong with the NBA and the NHL playoffs.
And we've gotten mostly good games, too. I mean, you know, between the two sports, there's a ton of games and can't keep track of them all, but I don't think there's been a ton of blowouts, at least none that weren't expected. If anything, there were some games that should have been blowouts, and we'll get to one on the other side. Absolutely should have been a blowout that ended up only being an 11-point game, and it was probably closer than that score indicated.
Yeah, both have been fantastic. We'll talk about an epic collapse on the ice as well.
Yeah.
And on the NBA side, I mean, look, playoff basketball finally back at Madison Square Garden. Electric crowd letting Trae Young know how they felt about him, and he let them know how he felt about them as well. So that was fun to watch. I mean, all these games have been entertaining, even those late night games that most people probably aren't watching, like the Portland Denver series.
Well, I love playoffs after dark.
And how about Luka Doncic sticking it down the Clippers' throats? That's another step on his legacy.
All right, we'll start with NBA next. Keep it here. You're listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Listening to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome back to the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. It's Alex Barth. It's Bobby Gravitsky in for Anthony Pepe tonight. We're going to get into let's do the NBA first in the NHL, because there is a game wrapping up right now in the NHL. Islanders, Penguins, halfway through the third, tied at two. So I want to discuss the ramifications of that game. Maybe it'll be over for the next segment. I think regulation will probably be over for the next segment. We'll see what happens with if it goes to overtime or not. But let's start in the NBA, Bobby. And I threw that big market tease in there, the one game that absolutely, positively, 100% should have been a blowout. That wasn't. That was the Celtics and the Nets. I know that's not like the sexy series, and that's not the one people want to hear about. So don't worry. We're not going to go long on this one. We're going to do it first. Get out of the way. Are you surprised the Celtics showed as much fight as they did? And can they actually do that again?
So given the context, it was the best defense they've played all season, in my opinion. Can they conjure that up again? Sure. But the problem is that so much of it had to do with how badly James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Kyrie Irving wanted to come out and put on a show. And once Kyrie started to do so at the start of the second half, it calmed the others down. And then Durant took over the game. And so now I think Brooklyn is going to be just fine when it comes to nerves and intangibles and that side of the equation. So I wouldn't be surprised if game two, especially since it's still in Brooklyn, the Celtics get steamrolled.
That was, nine games Brooklyn played this year with the big three together.
I believe it was seven.
So yeah, something single digits. And Durant was awesome in that game. He played on the West Coast for so long. I had watched him, but not a ton. Just such a special player to watch. He just moved so effortlessly. So yeah, he was a ton of fun. Beat the crap out of my team, but the clock is ticking on that series. Heat Bucks is in action right now. Yeah, that one is all Milwaukee. They were 1-0 leading the series. They're up almost 30 late in the third quarter, 80-53. Any surprises here, Bobby? That, you know, the red hot Miami Heat at the end of the season, that they were certainly close in game one, went to overtime, lost by 2 points, but they're facing a 2-0 hole. Close doesn't count when you look at the score of the series.
Well, so keep in mind, Alex, this was the team that sent Milwaukee packing last year from the bubble in Orlando. The first quarter of the first game of the series, it played to the narrative of same old Bucks, where they can't adjust, they're choking under the pressure. And who is it happening against? This Miami Heat team that, like we said, what happened last year, who they decided they wanted to go up against. They could have tried some shenanigans like we saw the Clippers do to avoid this matchup. They didn't go that route. They said, we're a different team with Jrue Holiday. We've been working on these adjustments to get more flexible all season. Let's bring it on. And the first quarter did not go their way, and it looked really bad. A lot of people were overreacting, trying to use it as confirmation, but it didn't play out that way. And credit the Bucks, because they couldn't buy a basket from beyond the arc and still were able to battle back. I know Miami was abysmal from the mid-range. Neither one of those is characteristic for either side. But for Milwaukee to pull out that win, it was huge for their confidence moving forward. And we're seeing that followed up with this momentum here in game two.
So is this pending a historic comeback by the Heat. By the way, I'll say this. They win this game, they win the series. You don't come back from down 30 and lose the series. Is this one over at 2-0?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, you never count out Heat culture and their mental toughness and all that, but I have always expected the Bucks to win this series. I thought at the most that Miami is going to push them to 6, but never believed they could actually pull off the upset this time. So yeah. I think it's going to be Milwaukee, Brooklyn in the next round.
Wizards, Philly. I know there were there were some weird calls in that game, and that one was just kind of a mess. Your thoughts on that one?
Oh, Tobias Harris stepped up.
Right.
For whatever reason, Doc Rivers is the Tobias Harris whisperer, where he's able to get the most out of him, and Philly needs that because...
I mean, Doc does that with a lot of players. A good coach.
Well, there's some hits and there's some misses on Doc's track record, but with Tobias Harris,
the one miss that comes to mind is his son, oddly enough.
Yeah, I mean, but it kind of was what it was.
I just love pointing that out.
I would also say this, though. I hate to ruin a good joke, but he saved his career also.
He did.
So there's that side of the coin. But what I'll say with Tobias Harris is that looked like one of the worst contracts in the NBA. And now Doc Rivers comes in, and he is such an important piece on a team with legitimate championship aspirations. And Harris reiterated that in game one, a huge part of why they were able to win.
What do you make? Right, we saw Philly kind of maybe take things easier with their stars this year. Obviously, you have less games that helps is congested as the schedule was. Simmons, Embiid, guys who have struggled to stay healthy. Do you see a difference from them in the way that they're playing this year now that we're in the postseason as opposed to postseasons past when, I mean, face it, they just look gassed by the time you got to this point.
Yeah, but I think the way they played is the way they're going to continue to play during the playoffs. And part of it is that they're flexible. So they're not last year's Bucks where it's one way, and if you can counter it, they don't have a punch back in them. So the Sixers, to me, it was all about a new coach, a new regime. We know that Daryl Morey has his handprints firmly on how his teams are going to conduct themselves on the court. And so it was all about learning that style and acclimating. And right off the bat, it clicked for them where there's more reliable shooters around Joel Embiid. So he's comfortable passing out of double teams. That took his game to another level. It makes their offense better, which they need. I still have concerns about them in the half court. So I think if they run into Brooklyn, for instance, they're going to go ahead and say, Joel Embiid, you do your thing down low, but 3 is worth more than 2, and you just can't keep up with us.
So you think Philly, because, I mean, this has kind of been a popular talking point around the Sixers, and I don't think it's wrong that they were built to be a regular season team, that they didn't, you know, have they had the horses to play 82 games, and that was it. That once you got to the 85th, 90th game, that the players they had on their roster just didn't have enough gas in the tank to do that. Can this year's team overcome that with this new play style?
They're a legitimate championship contender, but they're not one I would ever pick for the reasons that you just laid out, where it's too much of a struggle for them offensively in the half court. They're an elite defensive team. But because of the nature of Ben Simmons' game, and as good as Tobias Harris has done, I just don't think it's realistic when you stop looking at what the Sixers have in a vacuum and start comparing them to a team like the Brooklyn Nets, where you just see that they're not the favorites in a league where the favorites
right.
win.
Well, I mean, you compare anybody to the Brooklyn Nets, the Sixers aren't the favorite. But yeah, I'd agree. I think the Sixers have had fool's gold for quite a little while. I think, and the Celtics have this too, actually, where they have some very good regular season players, but guys that just don't have that last pop. And I'm not saying they can't get there. I think Jason Tatum's awfully close. I think Embiid has finally gotten there. But, you know, I think Ben Simmons is a guy who's very good at a few things. And they're things that are highly valued. So he's ultimately a good player, and he can help you win games. But I think when you get to the postseason, it's about what can you do differently? What, you know, you've been doing the same thing for 82 games. Teams are starting to catch on. What can you do differently? I don't know that Ben Simmons has that gear. I don't know that Embiid had that gear. I think he's starting to pick it up. I think he's starting to figure that out. But that's another thing, right? This, you see it all the time in the NBA, and we talk about this, where teams walk their way through the regular season. The teams with just raw talent walk their way through the regular season and then really flip the switch in the playoffs. Philly was talented enough to walk through the regular season like some of these elite teams, like a team like the Nets, for instance, right? Not just this year, but in past years, or Milwaukee, where they could walk through the playoffs. They're talented enough for that, but I don't know that they had that next level that a team with a LeBron James, a team with a Steph Curry, a team with Giannis, a team with Kevin Durant, I don't know that they had that next level they could flip the switch to.
Making wholesale changes saved Joel Embiid's career. And we're talking about a perennial all-star, an all-NBA player,
yep.
But we've seen the impact that it's had where right off the bat, he didn't buy into playing with Al Horford. He didn't trust. He's even said the guys he was kicking the ball out to last year. So now he's got shooters. Horford's out of there, and he trusts his teammates. Doc Rivers has put him in position to be a better player, and he's taking full advantage of it. If he had stayed healthy, he probably wouldn't have come down with the MVP, but it would have been a more legitimate debate between him and Jokic
right.
for that title. And so to me, it still comes down to, as you talk about what Ben Simmons does and doesn't do, that they're not looking for a third scorer, which is where you'd like to slot Tobias Harrison. They need a second one
yes.
because Simmons doesn't add that dimension. So that's why I just don't buy in when you get deeper into the playoffs that Philly's going to be the last team standing.
Real quick here, I didn't want to rush through this, but we kind of have to. Knicks, Hawks, as somebody from Boston, seeing the Knicks crush whatever it was, 50, you know, however many thousand, tens of thousands of New Yorkers were in that building, just get their hearts ripped out by Trae Young. I loved every second of it. Sorry, Jake Asman.
Props to the cameraman and the producer who knew after Trae Young is giving the business to the Knicks crowd to pan to Spike Lee. Because
yes.
that is what makes that clip right there. And so Trae Young, not great placement with the finger shush where it's on his forehead, but nonetheless.
Well, that's like, who was that Ole Miss player? Do you remember who the shark thing? This is years ago, and he
Jordan
never
Henderson, I believe.
Yes,
I
Andrew
Marshall Henderson.
Marshall Henderson, both of you. Good job. I loved that. That was so much fun. That was years ago. I think he like owns a daycare now or something. I looked that up. A couple
yeah, shout
years
out to
ago,
Marshall but Henderson. But this is one of those evenly matched series. I think the Hawks have more talent, and they should win. But what an epic moment! Playoff basketball back at the Garden. And the Knicks, this team of gritty overachievers and cast-offs, I do think that they're not going to be fazed by this. But the person who cost them the game was Tom Thibodeau. Terrible strategy
Shocker.
Where he wasn't trying to harass Trae Young by putting longer players on him, more of his wing, someone like an R.J. Barrett, where he's, you know, Elfrid Payton only played 8 minutes. But I think they needed even more floor time for someone like Emmanuel Quickley, who got 21. So I just think that he cost them by not trying to make someone other than Trae Young beat them.
Real quick, because you mentioned the camera shot with Trae Young. You know what else is back? That's one of my favorite things in sports. When you get in basketball, when a guy hits a big shot on a home team, right? It doesn't have to be at the end of the game. It's usually at the end of the game, hits a big shot, and then they zoom out to kind of show like the whole crowd just rising. That camera shot is back. Oh, I felt so good seeing that. So that's the Eastern Conference. We're going to go around the Western Conference next because I got to take a victory lap on Bobby. We'll do that on the other side. You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Back on the Diehards, Alex Barth and Bobby Krivitsky with you. I ended the last segment by saying I'd take a victory lap on Bobby. Actually, I'd take two. I should have done one at the beginning of the last segment. When we picked the playing games last week, and by the way, I can do this. I don't know how my picks went, But I cover the NFL. That's my primary job. So, you know, what do I know? You know, bounce, basketball, shoot in the net, whatever. You cover basketball, Bobby. Did you pick three of the four play-ins wrong?
No, I got two out of four because thank God the Lakers came back and won on a 35-foot prayer from a one-eyed LeBron James.
And that was one of the more incredible shots I've ever seen. So in the last segment, if you missed it, we went through the Eastern Conference playoffs, first couple games that have happened. There is one game in action right now. The Bucks are just absolutely giving the Miami Heat the business midway through the third quarter. Western Conference, so this is really interesting. We've talked a lot this year that the NBA is maybe starting to develop some more parity than it's had in recent seasons. Three of the four lower-seeded teams won. At least one game won. It's still a long series, and a lot can happen, but 8-seed Memphis beats 1-seed Utah, and I'm just going down the bracket here. 5-seed Dallas beats the 4-seeded Clippers. I mean, 5-4, it's like 8-9 in March Madness, but it still helps me make my point. 6, Portland beats 3, Denver, and then the one lower seed that should have won because they're seeded weird because of injuries, the 7-seeded Lakers lost to the Suns. Let's start at the top, Bobby. Utah and Memphis, so Memphis gets through the play-in tournament. They were the 10 seed, right? Were they 9 or 10?
Memphis was the 9 seed.
So still one of the lower seeds, but they get through, and then they give it to the Utah Jazz, who have been one of the best teams in basketball this year, and it's all because of my guy, Bobby, Ja Morant, absolutely putting on a show.
Ja was sensational. Obviously, a huge blow to the Jazz that they didn't have Donovan Mitchell. I'll say this, game ones, we still find ourselves overreacting to them, even though time and time again, we see even when the underdog has a blowout victory to start a series, it typically doesn't translate to being the first team to get four victories. But Morant, he was sensational. There were times where the Jazz didn't seem like they were certain how they wanted to cover him. There was a great pass that went all around social media where he faked out Mike Conley coming off the screen, pretended to the big man that he was going to drop it through his legs, and then he lays it in. I mean, Ja Morant was just putting on a show. And what's amazing about this Grizzlies team, Alex, is that this was something like their fifth game in nine days, and they haven't slowed down at all. All these games have been battling for their lives, and they come out here on the road in Utah, not an easy environment to play in, and still, it doesn't matter. I know Mitchell wasn't there, but that's an important win for a young franchise.
Well, you've talked about kind of the schedule that they've had, right, and how backed up they've been, but they got young legs. That's what happens when you have a young team, right? Ja Morant is...
And they have depth, and they don't put a single bad player out on the floor.
They don't, and they didn't have Jaren Jackson either, right? He was hurt for that?
So he missed most of the season. He's come back now. He hasn't been great, but he grew to 7 foot while he was injured. He bulked up for sure. So he's trying to find his game, understandably rusty right now. But just having another player and another big man in that rotation, especially one who, when he's going, can space the floor beyond the arc, helps Memphis.
Right. So, I mean, what I was going to say, I forgot because I knew they were doing load management. I didn't know because of the 5 and 9 if he had played. But, I mean, you look at – I'm not going to do the math in my head at how – old these guys are, but I'm just looking at the roster here.
It's a young team.
Jaren Jackson was born in 1999.
I love seeing that.
99, Ja Morant. Their rookie, oddly enough, is one of the oldest guys on the team, Desmond Bain. He was born in 1998. Signed the man up for an AARP card.
I mean, how do you think they look at Jonas Valanciunas?
Well, that's if Tim Frazier was born in 1990.
Yeah, but so. Tim Frazier doesn't play.
Yeah, but he's still got to... I mean,
he gets those practice jokes in locker room banter.
So you're saying like when they're actually on the court. Yeah, Grayson, this is weird. Grayson Allen's one of the oldest players on this team. I remember, like, I watched Grayson Allen in college yesterday.
Still hated.
How is Grayson Allen older than Justice Winslow?
Isn't that crazy? These guys
come out
when they're
younger. Justice Winslow's been in the league, but I feel like Justice Winslow's been in the league forever.
I mean, Jason Tatum's 15.
Right. So anyway, back to the point. Obviously... No Donovan Mitchell, right, in this game, which certainly twists the narrative, but is what Memphis is doing sustainable?
I think they're going to push Utah even when Mitchell gets back. What I cautioned people for game one is there's a distinct possibility that, one, Mitchell doesn't play, and two, Utah has an off shooting night, and they couldn't find their rhythm from beyond the arc. This is a team that largely lives and dies with the three, and we saw what happened in game one. Now they get Mitchell back. I think they'll be just fine for this series, but Memphis is not going away. We've seen any team they play against, they typically hold their own and are competitive. So I expect that to continue happening. And a guy who we got a shout out from this series before we move on from it is Dylan Brooks. He's the Grizzlies version of Marcus Smart.
I like Dylan Brooks. Good player.
He was absolutely fantastic in this game. He went off for 31 with his usual hounding and harassing defense. So Dylan Brooks is one of these guys who, because Memphis has been able to play all these young guys and give them minutes, he still has his flaws for sure. And like Marcus Smart, will take more threes than you'd like. But nonetheless, he's been able to iron out a lot of his game so that it's at least catching up to that irrational confidence.
Right. Dallas and the Clippers, you mentioned 31 points. Luka Doncic, 31-point triple-double. I mean, he's been in the top 10. Are we starting to talk about him in the top 5 yet? I know it's just one playoff performance, but
put it this way. I think Dallas fans, you can make the case. He's not in my top 5. I don't even think off the top of my head here. I don't want to dive into the top 10 argument. He's not even in my top 7 just yet, but he certainly could be by the end of this playoff run, although I still am backing the Clippers to win this series. But what's evident, Alex, is that they have no plan for how they want to guard Luka Doncic. They didn't last year. They didn't show one during the regular season. And now it comes playoff time. And once again, whatever they do, they're not committed to it. He picks it apart. He doesn't care what they throw at him. And so Kawhi Leonard, with his body, he just can't guard him for majority of the game. They have to pick their spots. I still think the last 5 minutes, last 7 minutes, whatever it is down the stretch of that game, it's got to be Kawhi primarily on him. And if he needs to switch off because the screen is that good, then you live with it. But it wasn't even Paul George after that. It was a lot of Patrick Beverley. We saw those two going at it with Doncic, just John Adam telling him he's too little. And he is. Doncic is like 6'8", 6'9". He's big. We've seen him bump Kawhi Leonard off his spot to get layups. I've never seen anyone else do that before outside of LeBron. So Doncic is just, he's too much for the Clippers to handle. And the strategy needs to be anyone else but him. And they can't seem to do it.
I mean, Kawhi is easily in the discussion for the best defensive player in the league.
Sure.
I mean, especially, you know, defensive perimeter. And when you say he's having trouble with Luka, and you said something in there, I think it was, you know, they don't have a plan for him, right? Or something along those lines. Every time I watch Luka, he's putting teams in a blender. I don't know that there is a plan, at least at this point, for Luka Doncic. I don't know that any team has a path to defending this guy.
Well, so the Clippers started with make him beat us from three.
Right.
We're going to go under the screens or play him at the level. And he was burying him. He said, that's fine with me. So then they start switching. They start dropping. Now he's getting to the rim, and he's feasting on that. And it felt like every matchup they threw on him was a mismatch in favor of Doncic. So it's hard to come up with a plan that's copy-paste. But nonetheless, I think teams have done more effective jobs, whereas the Clippers, it's deja vu from last postseason. There's nothing they seem to throw at him that works, despite being this vaunted defensive team with Beverly and George and Kawhi. He just shreds them.
Dallas is a good team. You know, I think Porzingis is a good player, right? I just don't, you look at some of these other rosters, right? I don't think Doncic has the supporting cast that some of the, you're shaking your head. Am I wrong? Or
no,
you
I'm agreeing with you.
Agree?
I'm
okay.
Agreeing with you.
I don't know that Doncic has the supporting cast that some of these other stars have, right? Like a Donovan Mitchell we just talked about. Talked about how deep the Grizzlies are. I don't know that Ja Morant's quite on Doncic's level just yet. Those happen to be two of my favorite players in the NBA. But why aren't teams just doubling him? Just make Porzingis beat you. Make anybody else on that roster beat you. Why? It seems like teams are hesitant to do that. You tell me, like, I'm genuinely asking you here. I don't know. Why are teams so afraid to force the rest of the Dallas Mavericks to make plays?
Well, I think that teams try it, and the problem is that Dallas can be a great three-point shooting team. That's what they've tried to surround Doncic with, including a big in Porzingis who can do it. So when they're on and they hit 17 of them and shot nearly 50% from beyond the arc in game one, it's a problem. So I think the Clippers, first they wanted to see, can Doncic beat us just from beyond the arc if we make him one-dimensional? And he could. Then they had to switch it up, and that eventually spiraled into him setting up the other guys for those three-pointers. And then when they're knocking him down, you're in trouble, even though it's not the sexiest roster in the league.
Quick thought here. Another one of my favorite players in the league, Damian Lillard. Would love to see him get a shot at a title. His Portland Trailblazers took game one over the Nuggets. How do you like Portland in this series?
I'm a believer that Portland can win this one because Denver, with all the injuries they have in the backcourt, it's a horrible matchup for them.
All right, wait, there's one more Western Conference series we didn't get to. There's a lot to pick apart in that one, so we're going to get to that next. Keep it here. You're listening to Die Hards on the Sports Map Radio Network. We'll be right back.
listening to The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Final segment of The Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alex Barth and Bobby Kiritsky in for Anthony Pepe tonight. I wanted to get to hockey, but we have one more NBA series we need to get to, Bobby. There's layers here. The Sixers and the Lakers and the Suns. The Suns, the only higher seeded team to win. It's a 2-7 series. The second seeded Suns won that one. And is game two of that? What's the other NBA game tonight? Oh no, Blazers Nuggets is the other game tonight. Suns Lakers tomorrow night. After Celtics Nets. Where do you want to start with this? Should we start with LeBron?
We can start with LeBron, and look, there's multiple angles to dissect with LeBron.
Right. Well, okay, first off, let's say this, because I know this show's been on since, the Diehards has, but we haven't. Incredible theater in the play-in. Hitting that shot, I mean, he was probably concussed.
Well, so I was on Friday, and
so that was
after it, so I did get to talk about it, I believe. Started to get a little confused here.
Yeah.
I believe that's the case.
Yeah, because that was Thursday night. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. So that was interesting because I told you on these airwaves, we talk about my track record with these play-in picks. I said everyone's trying to romanticize this notion that Steph can carry Golden State to a victory, but they just don't have enough firepower to actually pull it off, and that Anthony Davis is starting to look good, and LeBron is LeBron. But it's going down to the wire, and I'm thinking, geez, I'm about to be 1-for-4 on these diehards predictions. And more than anything, Golden State gave the game away.
They had you think 15, Golden State lost it more than LeBron won it?
They had 15 turnovers.
Yeah.
Steph had a brutal one that led to a Wes Matthews three. That was a 5-point swing there.
Right.
So they gave the Lakers a golden opportunity to get back into it. And then, sure enough, it's Steph Curry again. I hate to pick on him, but he sags off of LeBron James.
He wasn't
the ball
great in
finds
that game.
Its
you
way to LBJ.
He wasn't great.
And he drains a 35-footer. But he wasn't great, but he's still the offense. And Jordan
right.
Poole stepped up, but his numbers were quieter and more modest than you would have thought when you look at them. And so it's so much about Steph Curry. And like I was saying, is they just don't have enough talent around him this season. That could change instantly next season because they get Clay back, because they have a top three, I believe, protected pick coming from the Timberwolves that they might get based on how the lottery shakes out. So that could they could be a title contender
right.
again next season.
James Wiseman's just going to be another year older.
Yeah, if they want. I mean, he's another guy who could be on the trade block already. But for this
ridiculous
particular game against the Lakers, I didn't buy into it. It was very impressive that it came down to the end and that they should have won the game, but they collapsed and LeBron James stepped up with another great moment for his legacy and reputation.
So then between games, LeBron goes to some tequila promotion something,
correct.
Right? Yeah,
he's with
some
Drake
celebrities.
And Michael
okay.
B. Jordan.
And you can't do that. It's a COVID violation. They're still in the COVID protocols. Most of the country's opening up. The leagues are a little behind. And I'm not going to fault them for being cautious. It is what it is. I'm not going to judge that. But the point is, this should be, according to the rules, a suspendable offense. Now, like, people were acting surprised that LeBron didn't get suspended. Come on.
Yeah.
The league, you could be disappointed, but the league was never going to suspend LeBron for game one. Maybe you saw it, Bobby. I didn't. Did the league give a reason that he wasn't suspended?
They did. They used the media to do it, where basically it was, they tried to sweep it under the rug in saying that this didn't meet the level of concern where he'd have to enter health and safety protocols.
Sure it did.
There was not a compelling argument. And here's the thing. I'm over the idea that not everyone gets treated fairly or the same.
Right.
Like, that's just no surprise. It's LeBron James. And unless
that's
you
sports.
Are a Suns fan or a LeBron hater, you should want to watch LeBron James play, especially in the playoffs when the stakes are higher. But here's the other thing. If this were, for instance, Odell Beckham before an NFL playoff game, he would be crucified for going to an event of this nature and having to be quarantined, or even if he was allowed to play. Just certain reputations stick with certain individuals. And so LeBron James, no one's even going to discuss that he put his postseason availability on the line going to this promotion. And I'll take it a step further. We still don't know, because they can say it didn't meet the level of concern. But even if you've had 2 weeks since your second vaccination dose, one if you had Johnson & Johnson, even if that's the case, you can still contract COVID-19 and spread it. So they are being awfully, they're taking a leap here by letting him on the court just a few days after going to this event.
So let me, because I thought about something you said there, right? That, you know, LeBron probably isn't getting ripped as much as he should, and LeBron gets ripped for everything. But so what has been getting ripped in this scenario? It's been the NBA for not suspending him. Is that, you know, the cover up? Is the NBA not suspending him? They're doing, making sure LeBron doesn't get criticized. Or are they taking the heat for him? Right? Because there really wasn't time to rip him. It's not that we found out LeBron went to this party and then a day later, 2 days, 3 days later, the NBA said he wasn't suspended. The whole thing came out at once. The story was reported as LeBron James has not been suspended for attending this event. So I think the NBA, whether it was on purpose or unintentionally, gave LeBron a lot of cover in this instance. I think that's why he hasn't gotten the heat, because the NBA screwed up. They didn't suspend him. And then I don't know if you saw this, Bobby. I am not an entertainment person whatsoever. I don't watch reality TV. I don't like reality TV. I think you know where I'm going with this. I'm guessing you did see it. I'm not a big reality TV guy, but my friend, she sent me this. I am aware who the Jenners are. I don't follow them at all. I'm aware of who they are. I know who Kendall Jenner is. So Kendall Jenner apparently has been linked to, whatever that means, I don't know if that means dating or not, linked to Devin Booker of the Suns. I didn't know that, but apparently she is. She was also involved in the planning of this event, this event that LeBron went to. LeBron plays for the Lakers. Devin Booker plays for the Suns. Only in the NBA.
Only
do you get people kind of putting these connections together and, oh, I don't know.
Soon enough, Devin Booker will be repped by Rich Paul, and he'll be a member of the Purple and Gold. It's inevitable. But no, I
honestly don't know if you're serious or not, if you actually think that's going to happen.
No, I'm just joking around. He's not going to leave Phoenix. That's a great situation. They've built it around him. Winning culture now with Monty Williams and James Jones at the helm of it. So they're going to bring in superstars. That's one of those spots that doesn't have a history of attracting stars, but is putting themselves in position to do so when Chris Paul's contract comes off the books. And here's the thing, Alex, if we want to talk about this series at all, is that it's such a shame that Chris Paul, he said when he hurt his shoulder in game one, he said that he heard something crack. And so what it reminds me of is to go back to that Houston series against the Warriors, that people, it's just a footnote that no one wants to latch onto because it didn't happen, but they were a game away from beating the Warriors, who had Kevin Durant, who are vying for greatest dynasty of all time, and they sleptwalked through that series, and it nearly cost them until Chris Paul hurt his hamstring and couldn't give it a go, and then in Game 7, he wasn't there either, and they couldn't buy a basket from beyond the arc. So Chris Paul, it's just another really unfortunate injury where, even after this loss, the Suns were favored in Vegas for Game 1, but the Lakers are still the favorites for the series, and I feel that way as well. But you take Chris Paul and make him healthy, it's a competitive seven-game series where Phoenix at least has a chance for as long as the Lakers are rusty. And now if Chris Paul is dealing with a severe injury, even if he guts it out, it just diminishes their odds even further.
So Devin Booker is not out-dueling LeBron.
Well, even if he does, who's out-dueling Anthony Davis?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, that's probably the difference. I feel like Davis is at times taken, this is all relative, a step back offensively. Not a step back as in regress, a step back as in, you know, we saw him for so many years in New
shotgun.
Orleans. Right, that he was the centerpiece, and I think he's more comfortable now in that supporting role. So I guess I don't think of him as much in that sense. But, yeah, you're right. He's as much of a threat to go for 35-40 as anybody. So it'd be cool to see the Suns win. I think Suns, Blazers, I know that there's not a lot of eyeballs on that, right? I'm sure the league would rather have Lakers, Nuggets. But Suns, Blazers feels like it would be a really fun series if it happened.
Yeah, that would be highly compelling. And look, with Portland, with that offense, it's one of the best in the league. Everyone loves Dame Lillard. So The NBA, they lose the Lakers, they lose LeBron. That's devastating, but they do have a superstar that gets eyeballs to screens. So,
well, too, you get this might not be because the NBA reseeds, I'm realizing now in my head, so you wouldn't get this until the conference finals, possibly, but and a lot more to have to happen. But I'm just saying, Damian Lillard versus Devin Booker playoff series, whenever that takes place.
And what a coming out party for Devin Booker.
Yes.
If he beats the Lakers in this series, now you get even more attention on him where people want to see this young rising superstar who's able to do something like that. It would be really impressive. And shout out to DeAndre Ayton, who had a phenomenal game one offensively and defensively. But to me, Anthony Davis looked disinterested. LeBron has a history of losing game ones. They're the more talented team. So I can't buy into the Lakers losing this series. But if you really want to, then it's also true that LeBron, we talked about his ankle injury before. Is he being too dramatic?
Right.
But he says he'll never be the same.
99%.
And how I don't want to use the term underwhelming, because it's not like you root for injuries, but it would just, it's like, really, this an ankle sprain is what's going to do him in? LeBron James, who seemed, you know, so durable throughout
just
his
larger
career,
than life, right?
And he
this
could,
common injury you
and,
get.
And this is what it is, but the reality is that he looks like a guy with a bum wheel who's not moving as well as we're accustomed to seeing LeBron James, not turning the corner quite as often on defenders. So if you really want to talk yourselves into the Suns pulling off this upset, look no further than LeBron James, not looking like LeBron James.
All right, let's get into some hockey here real quick. The game that just wrapped up wrapped up regulation, the Islanders and the Penguins. The game is tied 2-2. The series is tied 2-2. For my money, Bobby, you tell me if you disagree. That has been, as a whole, there's been, you know, games here and there that have been good. As a whole, though, Islanders-Penguins has been my favorite series of the first round so far.
Yeah, this has been highly compelling. This one was anticipated to be the best matchup of the first round.
Yeah, I think we said that last week.
Yeah, and so when you look at it with Crosby, and then on the other side, you've got Palmieri and Barzell and Brock Nelson and all the talent that they have, and the way that these games have played out, where I talked about in one of the earlier matchups in this series, the degree of difficulty that we've seen on some of these goals, like when Sid the Kid sticks his arms out and is able to deflect the puck, redirect it into the back of the net. Bo Beauvillier has had some impressive goals down in front of the net. So it's just been really impressive to see how these two teams are scoring to keep pace with one another.
And then we have to talk about the Canadian series, the Jets and the Oilers. The Jets were up 2-0 in the series. Then the Oilers get up, what was it, 3-0, right, in game three? And then the Jets scored, is it 3 goals in 8 minutes? Remember, there's something
I don't
like
have
that.
The precise time, but I'll tell you this, that it's 4-1. More than halfway through the third frame.
Yes.
And so if you're a Jets fan, I'm sure you're a little nervous, but you've got to be confident. And then with a 5:32 left to play, the Winnipeg scores.
Right.
And so if you're an Edmonton fan, sorry, then you're saying, okay, it's 4-2. I'm a little more nervous.
Two-goal lead, the most dangerous lead in hockey.
16 seconds later, they score again the same way, where it's in front of the net with someone unaccounted for, Blake Wheeler the second time, and then in overtime, a beautiful shot by Lars Eller off the faceoff.
So I'll tell you this. We were just kind of talking about some of these ridiculous NBA transactions, right? James Wiseman might get traded, whatever. You know, is Devin Booker going to L.A., blah, blah, blah. If I'm Connor McDavid, and I'm looking at what the Oilers have put around. I mean, this kid is unbelievable. Go somewhere you can win, dude. If they're not going to give you the pieces, go find a place that will. We're going to have Jack Eichel, and that was the draft class. McDavid and Eichel, and that was considered one of the best draft classes in hockey history, and it's kind of lived up to the hype. It looks like Eichel's going to be out of Buffalo. There's teams that are preparing themselves to give up a lot this offseason. And look, it would be a little different because McDavid's not going to be a free agent like Eichel will. But there's teams that are kind of in the mindset right now to make that sort of franchise-altering move. You're going to have a chance. Not that, you know, nobody would trade for Connor McDavid in a normal year, but this is the year to do it. You're going to get swept by an inferior team.
Can you imagine?
The Oilers have a better roster.
Can you imagine being a franchise or the fan of a franchise that loses Wayne Gretzky and Connor McDavid? That's hard
Look,
to live down.
I lost Tom Brady, but he got 6 rings first, and he was 43, and that killed me. Wayne Gretzky and Connor McDavid. And then you got to go see Taylor Hall tearing it up in Buffalo, in Boston.
Eberle's playing well on the Islanders.
Oh, man. Cursed. Yeah. Snake bit franchise.
I certainly, if I'm any other team in the league, there's no price too steep. And provided that they don't come back and win this series, I'm making the call in the offseason.
I'm just saying, it's the NBA. You're getting in his ear a little bit. Some agents are talking. One more segment coming up. You're listening to Diehards.
This is the Diehards on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Back on the Diehards, SportsMap Radio Network. Anthony Pepe will be back tomorrow night, 8 to 10. I should have mentioned the last segment. So I said this is going to be, you know, this big offseason for hockey, and you're going to have Eichel, and McDavid should throw his hat in the ring. I should have mentioned Sidney Crosby potentially could move as well, is expected to move as well. It's, you know, we had this with the NBA 2 years ago, the NFL last year, and now it feels like hockey's gearing up for what is going to be a massive, massive offseason, and they do it going into this new ESPN TV deal. So we get a good playoffs. You're about to have a ton of player movement, new TV deal kicking in. This is a big kind of 6 to 8 months here for the NHL.
I love the fact that they're going to be back on ESPN. I think that's going to be huge for the sports visibility. They've got the deal with Turner as well.
Yep.
And so I love that they are finally going to get more exposure. And look, playoff hockey is unbelievable.
Incredible.
We've talked about it before, where it's fast-paced, it's physical, there's minimal breaks, whether it be in play or for commercial reasons. And so that's great. As far as Crosby goes, I just can't see the Penguins allowing him to go. I think whatever it takes to smooth out frustrations, whatever it takes contractually, they have to get that done.
That's what we all said about Tom Brady. Similar situation. Pep will be back tomorrow night. He's Bobby Kravitsky. I'm Alex Spart. Thanks for listening. Have a good night, everybody.